Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this morning comes from the Old Testament lesson from Joshua 24, where Joshua says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the God your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is our text. So Tommy's house was packed with relatives for Christmas dinner. And Grandpa calls 6-year-old Tommy over and starts asking him about school and girlfriends and whatever other stuff he could think of. But after a while, Grandpa notices that Tommy is losing interest in the conversation. And so he pulls out 2 bills from his wallet to see if he can keep Tommy interested. He pulls out a $10 bill and he pulls out a $20 bill. And he shows both of those bills to Tommy and he tells him that he can keep the one that he chooses. So Tommy reaches over and grabs the $10 bill. Well, Grandpa is a little bit surprised and frankly, a little upset about the unwise decision his grandchild made. So he pulls out another $10 bill to see if it was a mistake. And again, he tells Tommy to take one of the bills and keep it. And once again, Tommy grabs the $10 bill. Well, Grandpa is very surprised and upset. So he takes Tommy over to one of the uncles and shows him how dumb Tommy is in choosing the 10 over the 20. Grandpa goes on and on, showing every uncle and every cousin, and each time, Tommy chooses the $10 bill over the 20. Finally, Grandpa shows the stunt to Daddy, and Daddy is surprised, but he doesn't pay too much attention at the moment. A few hours later, Daddy, who is concerned about Tommy's poor decision, walks up to him and asks him if he knows the difference between a $10 bill and a 20. "Well, of course," Tommy answers. "So why do you always choose the 10 over the 20? Tommy says with a big smile on his face, "Well, Dad, if I had chose the first 20, do you think that Grandpa would have played the game 15 more times?" We all have decisions to make each and every day, beginning from the moment we wake up in bed. Do we hit the snooze alarm again or not? Do I eat breakfast or not? Which way should I drive to work? Should I flirt with that really cute but married coworker in the office or not? Should I go to that website I don't have any business being at? Is it time to buy a new car? What should I have for dinner? Do I give my spouse a little bit of slack because I know she's had a bad day, or do we just get into a great big fight? From the moment we get up in the morning until our heads hit the pillow at night, our time is spent making decision after decision. The Israelites were at a very unique point in their history in our Old Testament lesson for today. It was time for them to make a decision. Hundreds of years earlier, God had called Abraham to leave his home and travel down to the Promised Land. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob traveled that land for 3 generations, but never actually took possession of it. When a famine necessitates that the family move to Egypt to survive, God prepared them by installing Joseph as the second in command in the land. And the people of Israel stay in Egypt for 400 years while they greatly multiply in number and become slaves to the Egyptians. But God heard their cry, and he called Moses to lead them out of slavery. So after 10 plagues, the Egyptians have no other choice but to let the Israelites go. So they leave the land of Egypt and head for the Promised Land. But after sending spies to check out the promised land and check out the people that live there, they were afraid. And rather than trusting in God, they were afraid. So God punished them for their lack of faith by having them wander the wilderness for 40 years until that unfaithful generation passed and a new faithful, trusting generation would come and take possession of the promised land. What we find in our text for today is Joshua's third sermon to the people in two chapters. They are gathered at Shechem, where Abraham had first received the promise that this would be his land while he was actually in the land, and where he built his first altar in response to that promise to the Lord. The people of Israel have moved into the promised land. They have wiped out all the people that live there. And Joshua has led them to the point where the land is now theirs. They can finally settle down. They can plant crops for the first time in hundreds of years. They can build houses rather than living in tents. But you see, there's a problem. For the last 40 years, the people of Israel have had a constant visual reminder of God's presence among them. Not only have they seen God destroy the city of Jericho and all the peoples that were around them, but each and every day they were led by God by a cloud, and every night they were led by God by a pillar of fire. Every single morning, except for the Sabbath, they woke up and they found on the ground food provided for them by God in the form of manna. The whole time they wandered in the wilderness, their clothes never wore out. And although they traveled by foot every single day, their feet never swelled up. They knew for certain that God was with them because they had constant reminders that God was with them each and every day. But from this point on, life was going to be completely different. They wouldn't have that daily reminder that God is their ruler and creator. And so the temptation to ignore him, the temptation to do their own thing, or even worse, their temptation to fall away and follow a false god was going to be much, much greater. They are also surrounded on all sides by pagans who followed false gods, particularly Baal, the fertility god. So once they settle down, once they build up those houses of wood and stone, once they plant some crops and start reaping them and are living the good life, the temptation to follow God, to forget about God, and to follow a false god is going to be huge. Joshua knows this. And so he speaks to the people, telling them to put away their false gods and follow the one true God who led them out of Egypt, defeated the inhabitants of this land, and gave them the promised land after nearly 600 years. The people had a decision to make. Now Joshua serves as a wonderful example for the people, and he tells them, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is, without a doubt, the most popular book verse in the whole entire book of Joshua. A lot of preachers love preaching on this, but you know what? They get it wrong. Because after saying that Joshua chose to follow me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and the people, they respond, "The Lord drove out all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." And they go on to say, "You need to choose to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord each and every day of our life." But they're forgetting one thing. They're forgetting that by nature, we are spiritually dead, spiritually blind, and enemies of God. And that means that by nature, we can't make a decision to serve the Lord. Think of it this way. Have you ever gone to a funeral and seen a body laying in a casket and seen that body make a decision? Anybody? They can't even decide what clothes they're going to wear. Okay? So, by nature, without the grace of God, without the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we are as prone to making a good decision as that dead person laying in the casket. The only decisions that we can really make are bad ones. And yet, there is hope. You see, Joshua and the Israelites in the wilderness, who saw evidence of God in their lives every single day, were able, because of the gracious activity of God in their lives, to follow Joshua's example and serve the Lord. And so also us Christians today, who are in the Word of God on a regular basis, who study the Bible on a regular basis, who are active in worship and receiving the sacrament on a regular basis, we too are able to follow the Lord and to serve the Lord because of the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit working through the Word and sacraments that makes us able to make the good decisions that we need to make in order to serve the Lord. My dear friends, that's the good news. The great news is that even when we ignore the Lord, even when we make a typically bad decision because we went on our own, God forgives us. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven for all of our sins. The sins that we know about, even the sins that we don't know about, God forgives us for them because of what His Son did for us on the cross. Every single sin that we have ever committed has been forgiven. So how do we best live our lives as we attempt to make the best decisions we can while we struggle with our old Adam that's deep within us? Well, rather than waking up and hitting that snooze alarm again, wake up and spend some time with your Lord in prayer. Or as you get up and have your morning coffee, open up your Bible for a few minutes and read the Lord's Word and get connected with God through His Word as you're having your morning coffee. We don't have a cloud to follow sent from God to follow every single day. We don't have a pillar of fire to lead us as we go about our duties at night. But we know that God is active in our lives because we can connect with God through His Word every single day. And we can connect with God through prayer each and every day so that by having the Holy Spirit acting in our lives each and every day, we as Christians can make much better decisions. So be in prayer. Be in God's Word. Receive the sacraments on a regular basis and you will make better decisions as a Christian through the Holy Spirit working in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.